Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Say this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now say it like you mean it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Make it a declaration. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hell ought to be afraid if that's true. Hell's got nothing to worry about if that's not true. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because, you know, the Spirit comes for a reason. He doesn't just anoint you to feel good. He doesn't anoint me just to speak and somehow have some kind of audience. He anoints us for purpose. This is what Jesus said the purpose is. Now, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good news or good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to captives, and to opening of the prison doors for them that are bound. That's why you and I exist. Because there are people that are in prison, just like in this room there are people today, who will gather among other believers. And while you're experiencing Christ, they will stand there and say, I can't feel anything. I don't even know what this is all about. Do you know something? It's not about watching the Spirit of God walk by. It's about grabbing a hold of Him so tight when He goes by that you tell Him this. I challenge you. Tell Him this. I am going to grab you so tight and ride you. Seriously, I'm going to grab you so tight, you will have to show me yourself. You will have to teach me your ways, because I'm going to hug you so tight, I won't let go until you say something to me. Until you speak to me, I'm not going. Moses said this, if God doesn't go before me, I am not going. Pastor Carl prayed that back in the room today. Lord, if you don't go first, I'm not going. And I can remember on my ordination Sunday night years ago, I don't even know what year it was. I think it was 98, somewhere around that. I was up at an altar in northern Missouri near Iowa, a bunch of cows. That's all I know. There was a ton of cows around. And I remember, I kept thinking, what's the big, honestly, I'm just going to confess to you. I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, I know you're already upon me. What is the big deal? I already know you're upon me. And I want to tell you what, when 12 elders laid their hands on me in that room, I found out what the big deal was. And I went to my knees. And all I remember was weeping before God. I wept before God when the power of God fell on me again. You see, there's a new and a fresh power that He wants to pour on you today. It's not about yesterday's power, yesterday's anointing, yesterday's revelation. It's about today's. Because He said, I am doing a new thing in you today. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me new and fresh today. Lord, say something to me for today. Because they need it. I need it and they need it. Say something fresh and new to me today. I am desperate for you. And I'm going to cling on to you. And I won't let go until you say something to me. To proclaim the year, the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of the vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn. You have a purpose. Father, bring the purpose down. Bring the purpose down. God, reveal to us with this fresh anointing. Today, God, we look to you for hearts of outreach and hearts of evangelism and a proclamation upon our lives that we exist to experience Christ and to give Him away. That we live and we exist to experience Christ and to give Him away. Lord, what a God You are. What a God You are. What was amazing to me is that God, You've chosen us. God, You've chosen, as the band continues to play. Just keep playing, guys. Because I'm telling you, you are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. If the Spirit of the living God is upon you, you are not alone. Don't you let the lies of the enemy ever tell you that you're alone. I want you to know whether you are pleasing God or sinning desperately against God, you are never alone. Because He goes into the hell pit with you, and He'll go into heavenly places with you. The Spirit of the living God, you see, He's faithful. He's faithful because He'll go where we shouldn't be going. He'll go right there with us. He'll go right into our doubt. He'll go right. Why? Because He wants to set us free. He wants to set us free. He doesn't send us in there to be alone. He goes in with us to pull us back out and to set us free from depression. He sets us free from those anger feelings, those bitter feelings. He goes right into the hell of our bitterness. Don't anybody go tell everybody this guy cusses. He goes, right, you think bitterness isn't hell? You think it's not born of hell? It's born of the enemy. And He goes right into that, and he stays there, and He feels the pain at Calvary. God's Word says He felt our pain. He bore the sin and the darkness of our sin. He bore it. And listen, this is also what the book of Psalms says about that day. Not only did He purchase your sin and my sin, He purchased, listen to this, He purchased, the Bible says, David wrote, the guilt of our sin. Seriously, it didn't just buy the sin and, oh, I still feel guilty. No, it's not even yours to own anymore. He bought it. Quit stealing what's His. He bought the guilt. Give it to Him. Amen. Because, Lord, You said, come unto Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Wow. Father, we receive that today in the name, the powerful, the mighty name of Jesus, the all-knowing name of Jesus, the powerful, almighty, all-knowing name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give the Lord a huge hand.
At the beginning of the year, Pastor Barry kicked off a transformation series. And this is something him and I had talked about several weeks prior to that. What we want to do, what we want to look at as a church, what we want to look at personally and as a church, where God's taken us over the next few years. At the beginning of that series, it was a personal revelation. We were called to a personal revelation. What is God speaking into us? What does He want us to do? What is our part in what's going to be taking place here at SCRC in getting His word out? As part of that, we were called to a month of fasting and prayer. Because quite honestly, if we're not in tune to God, if we're not having that time with God and having a relationship with God, it's hard for Him to reveal to us what He wants us to do. And along with that time of fasting and prayer, we were actually challenged to evaluate some things that might get in the way, such as social media, internet usage, TV, online shopping. And maybe as a way to kind of pull us away from that, as much time as you spent doing that, you were asked to spend that much time in prayer and in God's Word. So hopefully that is time that has been well spent. The second week was in asking for a greater outpouring of God's Spirit in our service. And with that, we were challenged to come in and to be the cause of that outpouring, not look for the effects of that outpouring. And we had a great example that was right over here in Nate, and how he would come into service. He had made a decision that he was going to come into service, and he was going to stand and be a part of worship. He wasn't going to just sit there and take it in. He was going to be a part of it. And if he can do that, there's no excuse for us not to come in expecting and to be used of God in that service. Last week, Pastor Barry talked about wisdom. Wisdom for us personally, and also wisdom for the leadership of SCRC and what he would have us do. Again, we're looking at what God wants us to do over the next few years. How can we can be more effective in reaching others for him? We looked at Solomon, the wisest man there ever was. And then we went to a passage in James chapter 1, where as we're going through challenges and trials, we have a generous God who is willing to give us wisdom if we would just ask him. So we're going to wrap this series up today. So the first 3 weeks have been kind of preparing us, getting us ready for what today is. And it can be summed up in one word. And if you look on the screen on the front of your bulletin, that word is go. We've been prepared now. Now we need to go into action. We need to go out and we need to reach others. We can't reach them if we're sitting at home. Quite honestly, we love being able to come here on Sunday mornings and being able to worship God and to be fed and have his word spoken to us. But then we can't just leave it here. We got to take it out to others. One of the things that Carmen had said that kind of made an impression on her was the fact that I was willing to actually go to her and ask her out. Not that I would, I wasn't looking for somebody to kind of be a mediator or something to help out. I actually called her and asked her out. And then I did it again and again before I finally got the answer that I was looking for. Made it though, yes. And because of that, because I was willing to go, that's right, I was persistent, because I was willing to go to her, God has blessed me with an amazing woman in my life. So there is so much to be gained just by going out to others. And that's what we're going to look at today. And the message today, if you've come here looking for some deep theological teaching, you're not going to get it today. I'm going to be real honest. We're going to look at a couple passages of scripture that I think most of us are familiar with. But we're going to be real, we're going to be personal. We're going to be real. Pastor Barry talks about being real, being authentic. We're going to be real today. Because we are called to go into others. So there'll be no references to the Sandlot. As you know, I like to use the Sandlot when I want to get really theological. We're not going to do that today. Just so you know, because I've used that a couple times, one of the members of our AV team back there decided that they would get me a t-shirt that says, "You're killing me, Smalls." So, and I wear it proudly. I wear it proudly. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to look at the last few verses. It's a passage that we're all very familiar with. It's called the Great Commission. In verse 18, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples. And I want to stop there for just a second, because what I love about this is Jesus is not a do as I say, not as I do kind of guy. He modeled what he wants us to do. Whatever he called us to do, he did it. Not only did he do it, he did more than what we could ever do. So when he says to go, he did that. If you think about when he called his disciples, he went to them. They were out there fishing. They were out there doing their job. And he went to them and he called them. He didn't put a ad out on Monster or Indeed or whatever the hot job boards are today and look for them to apply. They didn't apply and get called in for an interview. Quite honestly, if he had put a job posting out there, they wouldn't have applied, because they would have felt, I can't do this job. I'm not qualified for that. And they weren't. And we aren't. But God used them. And so he went to them and he called them. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So that when Jesus came and talked to his disciples, he came with authority. God empowered him to go and to do this work. And as we're going to see in a little bit, Jesus in turn empowers us to go out and to spread his message. Verse 19, here comes that word, therefore go. Go. Nothing else happens until we go. That's the very first thing we have to do. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So after we go, there's more work to be done. We're charged to baptize. We're charged to disciple others. And he continues that in verse 20. He says, teach these new disciples to obey all my commands I have given you. Sometimes we want to kind of, we think it's okay just to take step one. If we go to church, that's good. And it is good. It's great that you're in here worshiping God, praising God and being fed and His Word. But then there's more to it, and that's what this is. Besides going, there is an action to be taken. We went to, back in December, we went to a concert for King and Country and Lauren Daigle. Eli's in here, so he's a huge for King and Country fan. So we, as part of making this a little bit of a early Christmas present, we bought the passes for a meet and greet and to sit in on the Q&A. So as we were sitting there in the Q&A, Lauren Daigle was part of that. And somebody asked her a question. I thought it was really, really good question. You know, here she, and then if you don't know her story, she was someone who was a, she went through the American Idol. She had made it, she was like the made it to the last round of Hollywood before she got eliminated. So someone with a lot of talent. And so somebody asked her if she was ever intimidated by another singer. Is there someone that kind of you just look at and you're like, wow, there's just no way that I could ever do that? And she had an answer. She said, yeah, there is. Her name's Taya Smith. And if that name doesn't mean anything to you, how many of you know the song Oceans? That's her. She's with Hillsong. That's her. She's one of the lead worship pastors for Hillsong. And that's her voice you hear on that song. And Lauren Daigle had toured with them as part of their Outcry tour this past year. And she said, that gal intimidates me. And I told her, when we were touring, I told her, she goes, I am just so in awe of what you can do with your voice. And it's like, I will never be able to measure up to that. Now, and when she said that, I don't know if she was thinking, you know, sometimes we'll say things like that, hoping people will kind of, oh, well, you do a great job and you'll be just fine, that kind of thing. I don't know if she was looking for that or not. If she was, she didn't get it. Because Taya looked at her and she said, okay, you know what you need to do then? You need to dedicate yourself to being better. It's not enough just to have a voice and to have talent. These things that we do after shows when you hang out with people and they're watching TV or doing whatever and staying up late, you need to get your rest. You need to eat right. Get a vocal coach. You need to improve. You know, God has given you a gift, but if you want to be better, you have to work to be better. It's not enough just to have that talent, that gift. But sometimes we think it is just enough to go to others. Like I said, that's just step one. Our focus today is on outreach and evangelism. So when we think of the word outreach, I mean, just take it literally. You are reaching out to others and you're extending yourself to those people. And in evangelism, you're teaching them. You're telling them about Jesus. It's not enough just to be their friend. Tell them your story. We've talked so much about that over these past few months, about the story that we have and telling them your story. So in order to do that, that's going to require us to step out of our comfort zone a little bit. We're going to have to do something that we're not quite comfortable with. It's all good when we're among people who believe the way we do, act the way we do, with our friends, our family, and then when we come into church, with our church family here. where we're charged to go outside these walls and to reach others for Jesus. And Jesus told a great story about that in Luke chapter 15. Starting with verse 3. So Jesus told them the story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for that one that is lost until he finds it? How many of us have been with children? You know, we have our children with us. You're at the store or something and you lose that child for a second. Get a little bit of panic, don't you? Yeah, we have two children that live in our home right now, and if one of them was to disappear, it's not that I care less about that one that I know where they're at, but I am worried about that one I don't know where they're at. A few years ago, we had a little get-together. Our house is a small house. It's basically a townhouse that's been split into a standalone house, and we have a small lot. But we've gotten to know our neighbors really well because of kids and that, and so we spend a lot of time. We joke about we live in a commune. Kids just run back and forth and just, you know, whatever. I think I told you a story not too long ago about our neighbor next door, a little boy Levi, where he came into our house one day and just walked in to our freezer and grabbed a box of popsicles and walked out, thought nothing of it. What's mine is his, I guess. But we have that kind of great relationship with our neighbors. So several houses down, some neighbors have a trampoline. So the kids were down there playing on the trampoline. And when it was time for them to come home, I went down. Hey, guys, time to get home. So they started heading up. And on my way back, I got stopped by another neighbor. Hey, can you help me put this thing up? Well, okay, sure, yeah. So we're doing something outside. And I come home. Well, I see Bella, but I don't see Eli. And I ask Carmen, I go, where's Eli? Well, I don't know. I thought he was with you. No, he came home, and he should have came home. So there was some panic. Where is Eli? So we're frantically looking for him. Turns out he was inside the house all along upstairs, safe and sound, but we didn't know that. We worry about that one that we can't find, that one that we love that we can't find. Verse 5, and when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. There's a relief. Oh, there is a relief when they find it, when they find that lost sheep. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. Now, there we may be a little different. While we're rejoicing in finding that lost child, there may be some rebuking that goes on as well. Where were you? Don't you know you got to tell us where you're at? Especially in that store, you know, when you lose contact with them in a store or something. You're supposed to stay where I can see you at all times. So while we're excited, we're kind of chastising a little bit. But this man is happy because he's got that one lost sheep, and he has found that lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over the 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So as we're sitting here today, and as we talked about, everyone here, we have a great passion for the people who are here of SCRC, the family of SCRC. And something that Pastor Barry's talked about many times, he brings up the Bill Hypel example of who's that one person, though, that you don't want to go to heaven without? You got an empty blue chair around you right now. Who's that person that should be in that chair, that person that you need to reach? And as we talked about as Pastor Barry and I had talked about this series, and this was the message I was going to bring, right before Christmas, God decided to speak into me a little bit. Now, when he did this, I was having a really good sleep. Man, I'm just all good. About 4:30 in the morning, God gives me a little nudge and wakes me up. No, not now. I got to get up in a couple hours anyway. Why are you getting me up now? I've heard many times he does that because that's when he knows he's going to get your attention. There's nothing else that's going to distract you. He's got you. You're his captive. So God starts speaking into me a story, a personal story, about a lost sheep. When I was growing up, it seemed like two groups of families that attended church. Either the whole family went, or mom took the kids. And I was in that second group. Mom took the kids. Dad, that was his day to sleep in. He had no desire to go to church at all. But over time, we went to a church called Grandview Baptist Church. Pastor there was Pastor Charles Chapman. And I'm going to throw some names at you, and as I mentioned, these people, these are real names. They have not been changed to protect the innocent. But I spoke to these people ahead of time because I shared to them what God had shared with me. And I said, I hope you all don't mind. Your name may come out. They were totally fine with that. But Charles Chapman was the pastor of Grandview Baptist Church. As a little side note, several years later, Grandview Baptist Church became Oak Hill Baptist Church, and we got some alum right here, the Hickman family, who attended Oak Hill Baptist Church. So we've got a little, we didn't know this for a while, we had a connection that goes way back. So Pastor Charles moved down the street from us. And over time, he built a relationship with my father. It didn't matter that, you know, my dad was not a church member or, you know, he just wanted to know my dad, get to know him. And my dad didn't like using real names. Everybody had a nickname. Matter of fact, if I actually heard my name from him, I knew it was time to go run and hide because I was in some serious trouble. Everybody had a nickname. And Charles was Rev. He called him Rev. And over time, Charles would go, they'd play cards. As a family, he and his wife Jean would play cards with my mom and dad. He would go play golf with my dad. And there was no judging of my father because maybe he'd stop off at the 19th hole afterwards. Yeah, it's sinking in, right? No judging at all. He was just being a friend to my father. And over time, other families within the church that knew us well built that relationship with my father as well. They started a bowling league for couples on Saturday nights, so my mom and dad would bowl in that. And just whatever they needed to do to befriend my dad. You know, in the Baptist church, we had deacons, and of course, the deacons were assigned certain families. So we were assigned, our deacon was Dick Klein. And we'd already had a great relationship with him and his wife, Shirley. Dick has went home to be with the Lord several years ago. But he was a man that really loved on our family, took care of our family. So his name, of course, was Deke, or Deacon. So over time, these people just continued to pour and pour into our family. So we got my dad where he'd go to church on Sunday mornings. Sunday nights were still off the table. We won't even talk about Wednesday night. But Sunday morning, we could get him to go to church. So we're to church one Sunday morning. And at the end of service, Brother Charles announces that he's resigning. And if you want to know why he's resigning, you got to come back on Sunday night. Now, as I said, Sunday nights were not, no, that was not in my dad's vocabulary to go to church on Sunday night. But in his words, he went on that night because he wanted to see why his friend was resigning. And so Brother Charles shared that he was being called into full-time evangelism. So at the end of service, we had an invitation, altar call, whatever you want to term it. So my best friend, Brian, he nudges me. He said, let's go pray for your dad. So we went down and we're on this side, kneeled down in, at the altar in front of a pew, praying for my father. And all of a sudden somebody taps me. And I think, it's kind of rude, I'm praying, you know. Then they tap me again. Mike, look. So I turn my eyes over this way. Charles is here, and there's my dad. Making a profession of faith, accepting Jesus Christ as a Savior. But it's not just my dad. My mom's with him. That's not all. That party we read about in Luke 15 just a minute ago, there was a party taking place at the altar there. As they were just swarmed by people who had been praying for this man, this one lost sheep, praying for him. And now he had came forward and accepted Christ. And they were all, that big mob moved over this way, and there's my dad in the middle, and everybody just praying over him. For one lost sheep. And my dad, so because of that, my dad became he became the president of Charles's Evangelistic Association. So my dad was used then to be able to reach others. Charles built a great mission, ministry down in Haiti. God's work was being done through that one man that people prayed for. And as God was just continuing to pour this into me, over a period of about an hour, I just laid in bed and silently wept. I didn't want to wake Carmen up, but just bad enough one of us was up, so I didn't want to wake her up. But the fact that these people cared enough for my dad to just to continue to pour into him. And then the rejoicing, the party that took place when he made that decision. We cannot make ourselves perfect. We are perfected by Christ. He is the one that works through us. Just ask everyone to bow your heads for just a moment, just to block out all distractions. As we bring this series to a close, it's my prayer that we've been seeking that personal revelation from God. And that we're ready to come in and ask for a greater outpouring of His Spirit in our services and to be the cause of that. And that we continue to seek out His wisdom in all that we do, His direction, His guidance, what He wants to do with us. And then finally, that we take that and that we go. We reach out to others. We teach into them. We pour into them and let them know about Jesus. Father, I just thank you so much for these people here at SCRC, Lord, who love you and are making a commitment to SCRC, but most importantly, making a commitment to you, Lord, to go out, to serve others, and to spread your word, Lord. And we pray as we go into 2017, just continue on, Lord, that even though this series stops today, that the transformation will continue each and every day beyond, that we will just continue, Lord, to just continue to have you in our hearts and in our lives, changing us, making us the vessel that you want us to be to pour into others, Father. We do love you, Lord, and it's just such an honor to be able to serve you. and know the sacrifices that you made for us, your children, Lord. And we just praise things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Barry.
Come on, give him a hand. Give the Lord a hand. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Here's the truth. We don't have much time. Now, I'm going to tell you straight out. I've heard that all my life. And I may die before he returns. But that ain't long. Seriously. I said we don't have much time. I didn't say why. There's no one in this room that has eternity to win people for Christ. I know this, that one day, it's going to all come. I've shared this with you in the past. My father-in-law poured into his retirement for years as a teacher, as an educator, and a principal. And he poured into that retirement. It was investment time. God calls that seed sowing time. And he invested until one day when he retired, it was no longer investment time. You see, he couldn't pour more than, I think it was 2,000, Carl, what is it, 2,500 a year? I don't know what it was. There was a number that was the maximum number he could put in, but he poured the most he could. And at the end of it all, he had one of the most amazing retirements I've ever seen. Now God's taken him home, and his wife, my mother-in-law, is living the benefit of sacrifice on his part. But there came a point where it was seeds, there was a seed sowing time, and it came a point where it was harvest time. And I know those who have sown so little into their investments of the earth, and they see the result of it when it comes retirement time. Can I tell you, one day we're going to step into eternity. And I pray that St. Charles River Church as a family will be looking back and we'll see the harvest. Because the harvest was great, because the investment was great, the seed sowing time was great. There's only so much time. Now God's taken Mike's dad home to be with the Lord. What had happened? What would have happened if a pastor and a family in this church didn't care for his dad? Refused to go to heaven without somebody. Just, I dare you, refuse to go to heaven without somebody. Fill a blue chair next to you and make us go to more services, more chairs. Fill a blue chair. But you start by the motive is, I refuse to go to heaven without you. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord another great hand, will you?
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.